Yes, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come. We lay our burdens, we bring our sins, we bring whatever it is that's on our hearts and minds and place it at the foot of the cross. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles if you brought them this evening, and I say that just about each time we start the service or start the sermon in the hopes that you are actually bringing your Bibles with you or perhaps your handheld devices. We turn to our text, a reading for tonight, a reading from Luke chapter 13. And as Pastor mentioned at the outset of the service, the sermon title for tonight is Coming In or Staying Out. As children, especially during the summers, do you ever remember your mom or dad watching you come and go and come and go and say, for pity's sakes, make up your mind. Are you coming in or are you staying out? I remember that from the past. As a child, during the summer, playing, enjoying being out, knowing I needed to come in, but not always knowing which was which. Perhaps you can think of that as you think of our text, a reading this evening from Luke chapter 13. You might remember I preached last week on Luke chapter 12, and Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 12 of being ready for the end of times. What's coming? Are you ready? Are you living your life in such a way that you'll be ready when the Lord calls the world to an end? We talked about watchfulness, and then especially our text last week from the tail end of chapter 12 of Luke was about watching and knowing the signs of the times. Jesus continues that same kind of theme in chapter 13, repenting or perishing, being ready for the end of times. Then he does a healing in chapter 13 and teaches some parables, the parable of the mustard seed and of the yeast. And finally then comes our text for this evening, a reading from Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 22. Jesus at that time is continuing to preach and teach, making his way to Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, in the context of what I've just mentioned to you, somebody calls out to Jesus who's teaching and said, Lord, you know, are there going to be a lot that are saved? Or will there be just a few? In other words, Lord, who's going to make it into heaven? That was a question for that day and time as Jesus was preaching and teaching, and it's also a question for today. I hope it's a question that's somewhat answered for you at the close of our worship this service this evening. Are many saved? Are few saved? And how are those who are saved, in fact, saved? What Jesus says is the way is narrow, and it's a little hard to see, but remember that child I was talking about on the side of the screen door? She's inside her house. The door was narrow. She's on the inside of the screen door, and she's happy to be there. You know, who doesn't want to be included? Who wants to be excluded or left outside of anything? We want to belong. We want to know that we're loved. It's important to all of us. And as important as it is in families and neighborhoods and in friendships for youth and adults, what's even more important is what Jesus is talking about in our text for tonight. Are you coming in to heaven, or are you staying outside of heaven? And that's what our text is about. When asked, will many be saved or few be saved? Jesus says, there are many who will try to get in, but the door is a narrow one. Strive to enter in by that narrow door. The door to heaven looks like a big door, and it certainly is. People will be invited, the Bible says, from east and west, north and south, from all the kingdoms of the nation. But the only way to get to heaven is through the narrow, the small entrance, the small opening. Well, obviously, who is that small opening? That small opening, the only way to get to heaven, the only passageway to eternal life to be with God in heaven forever is Jesus. Jesus says many will come in, but the way is barred. The only way to come in is through Jesus, through trusting and faith in him. That's the only way to spend eternal life in the joys that God speaks of in the Psalms. In your presence is the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms. In your presence, God, is the fullness of joy and pleasures forever and ever and ever. And the only way that those promises can be ours is through Christ and him alone. Jesus himself says it in our text. He says, many will try to enter through that gate, but they will be barred. Many try to get into heaven. And look at some of those expressions. Expressions of joy, expressions of pain, maybe some expressions of fear there too. And all of those could be characteristic or characterize those who will try to get into heaven. What Jesus says is many will try to get in, but there will be many who are standing outside the door. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that Jesus says, let me use this as an illustration. If you want to get to someone's house, maybe it's someone you know, and you're invited in, you want to come, but the master, the owner of the house, has closed the door for the night, barred it, closed it shut, and then you come knocking, let us in, let us in. And what does he say? The master of that house will say, I don't know who you are, from the other side of the door. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you're from. Leave me alone. You can't come in. But sir, they say, and this time they're talking to Jesus, sir, didn't you come and preach and teach in our streets? Didn't we eat and drink with you? Look, we've got a relationship. And Jesus will say at that last day, I don't know you, and I don't know where you're from. If you're not with Jesus, then you're apart from him. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, and if he doesn't live in your heart, if you don't live for him and he live in you, you're not a part of him. I believe that there are many who teach many false things, and we've said that before. They teach many false things, and I believe they are those who will be prophesied about in this text. On the last day, they will say, well, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? We knew you. And Jesus says, knowing me is not enough. It's believing in me. It's trusting in me for eternal life. It's living your lives in response to that. That's what it means to know and to live in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be his disciple, his follower. Those who truly know and believe in him, they are the ones who are welcomed and invited in. Now, I won't use the sermon as a little soapbox, but have you ever seen those bumper stickers that say the word coexist? I hate those bumper stickers. Now, run out to the parking lot and make sure if you've got one, it's peeled off. But it says coexist, and there are seven symbols that make up the word coexist. And those seven symbols are seven symbols for each of the main world religions. Christianity is one among them. And that's why I hate that bumper sticker. What it seems to me to say by those who have it plastered on their cars, watch for them, is they're saying it's all even. It's all equal. It doesn't matter what you believe. It just matters that you believe. And can't you get along? You know, shouldn't we all get along? Will we all be saved? What does Jesus say tonight? The way is narrow. Many will try to come into that way, but they will not be invited. The door will be barred if it's not only and always and absolutely through Jesus alone. Now, what I'm saying and what I'm about to say may sound harsh to you, but listen to what I have to say. There are those who, for example, are the Buddhists. And the Buddhists, no matter how hard they meditate, no matter how much they pray, will not be in heaven spending time with the Father for eternity. The Jews, no matter how much they pray and wail at the Wailing Wall, even in Jerusalem, they will not be saved. Yes, there is a history, and don't you see that in our text? What Jesus said in our text for tonight is there is Abraham, there is Isaac, there is Jacob, there are the prophets, but you will be left outside. No matter how much the Muslim reads the Quran, no matter how hard they pray, what they do, how they give themselves to Allah, they will not be saved. Now, does that sound harsh? I don't mean it that way at all. What Jesus says is that they strive to enter into heaven, but unless they come through Jesus, they cannot be saved. Is that angry? Are we excluding them? Do we hate them? And the answer is no. Our desire, yours and mine, I hope, is that we pray for them. We witness to them. We share the Lord Jesus Christ with the Buddhist, with the Muslim, with the Jew, with every other person who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, with the hope and the desire earnestly that they would hear and believe, the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts so that they trust in Christ, that they turn and be saved. See, that's God's desire too. Ecclesiastes chapter 33, Ezekiel 33 says this, I desire not the death of the wicked, but that they turn from their ways and be saved. Ezekiel 33. So what we're saying tonight is that this sermon and Jesus' words are absolutely exclusive. There is one way to be saved, and that way is through Jesus. To know and believe that he came to earth as a human being, fully as human as we are, and yet being God, he took your place and mine. He suffered in your place and mine. His perfect life given in exchange for our sinful lives. When we know that and believe that and trust that, we are a part of those who are absolutely included. Those who don't are excluded, but, catch the rest, this message is perfectly inclusive. Those who believe in Jesus and those alone can be saved, but Jesus wants everyone to be saved. That's why he came, to live and die and be raised again for the whole world, for every man and woman, boy and girl, grandpa and grandma. He died for them. He died for you. To be perfectly inclusive. In our text, it says, people will come from the north, North America. They'll come from the south, South America. They'll come from the east, Europe and elsewhere, and they'll come from the west. They'll come from all over the world, and all will be invited in and through and because of Jesus. It is exclusive, but perfectly inclusive. If you doubt it, you doubt the words of Jesus himself. What Jesus said was absolutely exclusive while being perfectly inclusive. Jesus either knew what he was saying or he was crazy. You have no alternative. It's one or the other. Read these words with me, will you please? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said in John, and that's what he says tonight in our text as well. Jesus is the perfect way. Jesus is the only way to be saved. And I love this illustration. You see the doorway? And this family entering in and it's hard to see, but through the brilliance of the light stands the cross. In Christ, in his death and resurrection, in his sacrifice for you, you were invited in. But there's finally one last door I'd like to talk about tonight, and that's this door, the door on which Jesus knocks. And you can see it faintly here. It's the door of your heart. Maybe you've seen a picture, an illustration like this, a beautiful illustration. Many artists have copied something similar where Jesus stands at the door and knocks. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," he says. "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will enter him and eat with him and he with me." That's the promise that Jesus gives in your life and in mine. If you can see it, there's no handle on this door. Jesus won't grab the handle of our hearts. He won't push or shove or try to get his way in. He won't break in, but he stands and invites. Tonight he invites us to come to his table, to receive his very body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. He invites you to come in. And Jesus' question for you tonight is, well, are you coming in or are you staying out? I pray that you'll come in, that he'll be in your life, and that you'll live with him forevermore in Christ. That's what you know and believe. May we proclaim it to all the world. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus as he remains in you. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.